Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hey, and welcome to The Short Stuff. Josh and Chuck here. Jerry's there, too. Dave's here, kind of, and this is Short Stuff.
This, I think, is sort of why we started Short Stuff. This is the perfect little bite-sized topic. And this one, the articles that I used to cobble this together were from HowStuffWorks.com and the Chicago Tribune.
Ooh.
And one of our old favorites, Atlas Obscura.
Ayo.
Let's talk mood rings.
Yeah, so if you were alive in the mid-70s and probably over the age of 8, there's a good chance that you had a mood ring, Chuck.
I did not. I believe my sister did, though.
Sure, of course. Your older sister, right?
Yeah, 6 years older, so that was right in the wheelhouse.
Yeah, and they just kind of came out of nowhere. In 1975, there's a couple of theories of who came up with it, as we'll see. But within a few months, 40 million mood rings sold. And then just like everything else that was a fad in the 70s, pet rocks, it was just gone as fast as it came along.
Key parties.
Cocaine.
All that stuff went away.
Sure.
Yeah, it's amazing how fast and how lucrative this flash in the pan was.
Yeah.
Invented, and there's a couple of stories here. About who introduced this thing. Most people point to, in 1975, Maris Ambatz and Josh Reynolds as the inventors. Reynolds, as the story goes at least, was a Wall Street worker and was very stressed out with that high-stress job. Said, I'm gonna drop out. I'm going to start getting into biofeedback. Mm-hmm. I'm going to open a meditation center. It's called the Qtran LTD. Or Qtran Limited, I guess.
Sure.
And he said, I got a ring that actually produces mood feedback. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that you can see how you're doing literally by looking at the ring on your finger and then know where you are. If you're anxious, if you're upset, if you're chilled out and what you need to do, like you might need to meditate or come and pay me money to come to my center.
Sure. And there's actually like legitimacy to that with biofeedback in particular, where if you can recognize what emotional state you're in, you can actually take steps to get out of it. If it's a negative emotional state, you can purposely relax your muscles, like your neck muscles. You can try breathing exercises that slow your heart rate a little bit. Like and that's the point of it. It's to be aware of your emotions.
And so, go to what a tea party.
Exactly. And what he was coming up, or you could do some cocaine.
Sure.
What he was coming up with was this ring that you could just look down at and be like, oh, that's my mood. I need to, I'm actually anxious, so I need to do some yoga.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is pretty smart.
Yeah. So that's one, maybe we should, no, let's go ahead and talk about the next guy.
Okay.
Before we take our break. The other story, which doesn't have a whole lot around it, like on the internet, almost everyone points to Josh Reynolds.
Yeah.
And Maris Ambatz. But Marvin Wernick was a jeweler, and some people say he invented the mood ring kind of the same year, basically, 1975, because he saw a doctor put thermotropic tape to the forehead of a child to measure their temperature and thought, hey, you know, that's a great idea if we could just measure our body temperature and sort of see it, you know, beyond like a readout, but see a color. I could market that. And he didn't get a patent. And I don't think we said earlier, Josh Reynolds didn't get a patent.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a while to do that. And like we said, this thing was a really quick flash in the pan. And so by the time any of these guys tried to get a patent, it was kind of over.
Yeah. There was one guy who has a patent, a Chinese inventor who patented it in 1997.
I love that.
But even still, like by the time by the time Josh Reynolds tried it, it was over. 1997, it's like, why would you even waste your money on that? But
well, I think that's not too dumb, though. Like, it could come back in a new and different way.
Okay. All right.
And then this dude holds the patent. Not a bad idea.
Okay, fine. Especially, oh, I could see doing that because the 70s were in again in the 90s. So, yeah, so
somebody could retrend.
Hats off, unnamed Chinese inventor.
Like, I own the patent to parachute pants.
That would be lucrative.
I bought that in the 90s, and everyone's like, what are you doing?
Man, did you ever have parachute pants in the 90s?
No, I was, we didn't have a lot of money to buy, like, the fashionable stuff, and that was never in the I never can remember the name, but whatever the thing is where your shoelaces have one too many eyes or your zipper is backwards or whatever.
Oh, the...
like factory seconds, but there's another name for them too.
Factory rejects?
I don't know. But anyway, that's where I was shopping.
Ain't right.
And the parachute pants never came through there. I probably would have gotten them had I had the opportunity.
Well, I had some and they were something else.
You were rich.
They were not like... these were not really nice high. They weren't like Hermes parachute pants or anything like that.
I don't even know what that is.
Hermes is a very high-end luxury brand.
Okay.
And I don't think they ever made parachute pants. And now that joke sucks because I had to explain the whole thing.
Oh, no.
Let's go to break.
You should have said Gucci. All right, let's go to break.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, baby, is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Charles.
I know what Gucci is.
Yeah, I should have said Gucci.
Or Polo.
Okay. That joke is in the rear view. How about
Lacoste? That? Lacoste.
So we're talking mood rings after all. And not just mood rings. They came out with like mood pendants, mood chokers, mood bracelets, anything to show you what your mood was. And if you kind of start diving into... mood rings or what later became called like mood jewelry, bio mood jewelry or truth jewelry. There's an actual like function of those rings. It's not a stone. It's not magic or anything like that. Well, it's magic if you find science magical, but there's a pretty easy explanation for it.
Yeah. Like, and before we get to that, like the question is, do mood rings work? Mm-hmm. And the answer, Chuck's answer after reading a lot about this is kind of.
I have the same answer.
Kind of?
Kind of.
Yeah, they're definitely not they're definitely not BS or bunk.
No, but at the same time, I think a lot of people who think that they're real think that it's actually sensing your emotion. It's not. It's just sensing minute changes in temperature on your skin.
That's right. So how these work is it's got a sometimes a little hollow glass container mounted in a ring. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it was like a clear glass stone on a little thin sheet of these liquid crystals. And inside the clear glass container were these thermotropic liquid crystals.
Yes, which I looked up and I cannot make heads or tails of what they're used for specifically or... Mm-hmm. It's everything about it is like all nothing but science direct, and it's all arcane.
I wonder if what's it called when you can like predator heat sensing
thermal imaging.
Yeah, is that got anything to do with it?
I don't know. I don't think so. I saw that it's used in displays, but I didn't see how or what kind of displays. I mean, it's
well,
all,
liquid crystal displays.
I guess
LCDs.
Yeah, I guess so.
LCD sound system.
Sure, they use thermotropic liquid crystals, sure.
But at any rate, as my friend Josh would say, the upshot is these liquid crystal molecules are just super sensitive, and they're very sensitive to temperature in particular.
Right.
And when temperature is affecting these crystals, they will twist around, they'll move positions depending on that temperature. And what happens then is when they're twisting around, they are affecting the light spectrum, and that is why it is literally changing color.
Yeah, like they twist one way, they reflect blue, so the thing looks blue. They twist another way because of a change in temperature, they reflect black or green or something like that. I think amber is another one. And so the reason that this isn't actually bunk is because your skin does undergo minute temperature changes when your mood changes.
Yeah.
And what they did was they basically calibrated the temperature of an emotion, your skin temperature when you're experiencing some emotion or a kind of neutral emotion, and figured out what color that creates in the thermotropic liquid crystals. And then they basically said, well, if your mood ring is this color, you're probably experiencing this emotion. So it's they cobbled together like a bunch of different things that are real and put them together in something that it's kind of real.
That's right. I think it's kind of cool that they came up with an average on the color scale, which is green, based on your average body temperature. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we can go through the colors here.
Sure.
Green is normal, like I said.
Check.
If you go up on the scale, you go to the bluish green. That means you're kind of relaxed.
All right.
If you are blue, you are calm slash relaxed. And if you're dark blue, if it really goes blue, that means you're feeling like really good. You're like maybe passionate about something.
You're like
maybe a little romantic or super happy. Mm-hmm. And then it goes down the scale from amber to gray to black. From, you know, nervous or anxious to very nervous or anxious to just really feeling super stressed.
Right. And so, again, it kind of makes some sense when you are feeling passionate. You're probably a little bit flushed.
Sure.
And so your skin temperature is going to increase. When you're anxious, you actually start to feel a little bit cold. And mm-hmm. Your skin temperature decreases. I'm not sure if it's calibrated so accurately that you could divide it like that, but
right, sure,
it's possible. It's not like completely out of the realm of possibility. The point is, it doesn't matter anymore because mood rings aren't really around.
That's right, and there are a lot of other things that go into your emotional state beyond the temperature of your skin. So that's why I firmly land on it kind of works.
I think that's great.
And enough for a teenager in the 70s to buy it.
Exactly. Chuck delivered his verdict on mood rings, which means Short Stuff is out.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.